Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
And everybody know the bad guy is still here as we hang out on a too damn Friday. It is Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we got another great lineup of today because Mike Golic Jr. here, Chinne Agbumike, off the WNBA star that she is in the LA Sparks, got some business to handle heading into this weekend. And so hanging out with us today, none other than Christine Williamson. You guys might know her from, a million places, SportsCenter really on Snapchat, Hoop Streams, where you can see her later this evening leading up to the NBA action. And SportsCenter All Night here on ESPN
Radio. On ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Also, your smart speaker by saying play ESPN Radio.
See, this is why, Christine, this is why I love having radio people on here, because you know all the plugs and everything. You're ready to go right now.
I got you.
Well, and, like, this is where we're also in common ground is now different versions of the night shift. SportsCenter All Night, I believe, goes from
1 a.m. to 7 a.m.
So you guys are hearing 6 hours of Christine's voice overnight.
You're welcome.
Used to be in the 4 to 6 slot, which means that there are truck drivers and college football coaches all over America who have driven into the work to the sound
exactly.
of our voices.
That's usually the people that tweet me. They tweet me and they're like, I love hearing you all night long and your beautiful voice. And I'm like, you're welcome.
See, listen, they never actually said that about my voice because this is how I sing
on my shows. You know? So, like, every once in a while I have to serenade somebody. So that's why they say that.
That is true. I mean, listen, we all work with the gifts we have.
Exactly.
You just have more gifts than most people, so.
I feel like you're pretty gifted.
Well, see,
don't sell yourself short.
You know what? I appreciate that. We have a great friend in the building in Christine Williamson right now. Hopefully we can coax some singing out of her at some point. Hopefully get enough of an occasion. But right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Because before we get into any more of that, before we get into the most exciting portion of my adulthood week this week, what I managed to pull off, the win that I got, and a harrowing tale about a haircut from Christine Williamson.
Yes.
We got to get to some action from the association last night because, Christine, I want to make abundantly clear to everyone, I'm not going to come in here and lie about what we saw yesterday. That Milwaukee and Brooklyn game was not a good basketball game. That was bad.
It was really bad. We know that because it was a low-scoring game. It was like the 90s, like back in the day when I was an infant. But it was a movie in and of itself, I will say that.
So how describe to me the movie that was this game three.
This is how I watch sports. I consider myself a storyteller, so I like to watch everything going on in sports as if it's a movie. So here's the movie that happened yesterday. The Bucks go in down 0-2, right? They absolutely have to win this game because they can't go down 0-3 or they're not going to win the series.
The dreaded must-win game.
It's not going to happen. So they go into this matchup. The last matchup, they only scored 86 points. That's the key. They only scored 86 points. That's the lowest scoring game of the last two seasons, regular season and postseason. Okay? So they go into this game and they're like, wow, these two teams, the biggest offensive powerhouses in the NBA this season, right? But the Bucks, only 86 points. Okay, that's the backdrop. That's how you set the scene of the movie. Then you have we'll say the Bucks are the good guy in this situation, right?
Uh-huh.
So the Bucks come in, the good guy, the story's about the Bucks, and they start off pretty strong. That's how all movies start. Everything's going great. Nothing to see here. People playing good basketball. And then all of a sudden, Kevin Durant and the Nets, climax. We get the climax, right? Where they go down. And it's like, oh my gosh, are the Bucks going to end this one on top? This is the movie, right? And then they do. So it's an exciting movie in the whole entire series, but ultimately the Bucks aren't going to pull this off. So that's why you have to just make it one movie in and of itself, just that game by itself.
You know what? And the NBA would probably love that, right? If we just took each of these as a one-game product.
Thing. Yeah.
And to be fair, especially relative to if we're going to keep with the movie theme here,
right.
This would be the third in the series. This is Fast and the Furious 3. I forget which one that was. I know it was Too Fast, Too Furious. Was the Fast 3 Tokyo Drift?
I only watched the first.
I feel like Fast 3 might be.
I mean, Tokyo Drift, technically, right?
I think technically Fast 3 was Tokyo Drift. So this would be the Tokyo Drift of the Milwaukee Nets franchise.
Yes.
And it is markedly more entertaining than the first two that were blowouts. Because to your point, there was no hook. That first quarter was the hook. We had been waiting for some sort of offensive explosion from this team. And Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton decided to step up and have all the team's points in the first quarter.
Right.
We did not realize what a theme for the entire day that was going to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difficult part now, Christine, is we've been trying to diagnose this team's ills. And I've said Giannis Antetokounmpo had to go out there and start to take control.
Right.
We saw that to an extent last night, but it still didn't feel identity-wise like the guy we've been used to. 8 3-point attempts. I understand he had 30-plus. I understand it was an impressive double-double stat line. But, Christine, should he still be trying to go after shots like that in the postseason right now when you are in a situation where it's a must-win game?
I feel like Giannis is missing something as a player in general, right? Like, I feel like when we look at, like, KD or, like, any star player who is able to take his team to the finals and win a championship, Giannis is missing that. He doesn't have that X factor, unfortunately. I personally see Giannis as a character that smiles a little too much, right? He doesn't have that edge. And so, yeah, he's taking these shots that he shouldn't be taking. He had a few brain farts throughout the game that didn't make any sense.
Are you talking about the violation at the free throw line?
Yeah, that and the air ball at the free throw line. Like, there were just things that were like, he doesn't have that thing that we need. And so, yeah, I just don't think this is going to work out for Giannis.
And to your point, we talked to Jen Latty yesterday from ESPN Milwaukee, and I saw on their show, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee, they had said that line for Giannis, I don't get too high, I don't get too low, that's not really compelling. And when you get in a hole like this, it's not the most reassuring. So when Giannis steps to the mic like he did here after the game, saying, listen, we wish we had done more, but still looking for the positives, you wonder if this act, and I wouldn't say an act, if this is who Giannis is,
you got to be
who you are. But in these situations, you wonder if answers like this will continue to be enough for people.
It was a very low scoring game, possession by possession. You had to get stops to win this game. You had to knock down big shots to win this game. And at the end of the day, when you play a basketball game and you win the game, you enjoy it. But I think we can play better. We can play better. We can play faster. We can play more together. We can move the ball better so we can get back to our scoring 110, 120 points like we usually do. But at the end of the day, if we can win a game by scoring 84, 86, I'll take it.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Janae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golick Jr. and Christine Williamson. So, Christine, you and I both like made the same thing.
I want to hug him.
It is, because he does. He seems so wholesome in this game. So I want to ask you now, continuing with the movie theme of this, the biggest plot twist in this game, was it, in fact, Giannis's brain farts at the free throw line, what went down there, the 10-second violation, the air ball at the free throw line, or was it what we found out after the fact to be Kevin Durant's security guard interjecting into a scuffle between Kevin Durant and PJ Tucker on the court?
That was the biggest plot twist, the security guard. And it was only the biggest plot twist because I didn't even realize that until today.
Yes.
Usually you don't see other people on the court. You know, the players, the refs, they kind of break it up. Maybe a coach gets involved. When we found out that the security guard was actually Kevin Durant's personal security guard, which, by the way, why does he have a personal security guard? Does everybody have a personal security guard? Is it just Kevin Durant? Is it does Kyrie have a personal security guard?
Is there like
is
a
it just
section?
A superstar? Is it just like the big three have a personal security
what
guard?
What if there's a whole section full of personal security guards? Like they get their, the game tickets, like you get the wives and family section, you get the girlfriend you're not trying to tell people about section,
so
and then you get the security
from?
Guard section.
Like, where is he during the game? Is he just like waiting for a scuffle to ensue?
You know where he is during the game? Ready.
Exactly.
Wherever he is, he was ready because he was out there.
He
quick.
Made it worse. He made it so much worse.
Markedly worse because like Kevin Durant and PJ Tucker know each other. Like that's you. That's Hook'em. That's UT
course.
Out there. Those
right.
guys know each other and respect each
They're
other.
Friends.
And Buddy came and had to instigate that in
he
a way that
took that man out almost.
Well, this is the real question: is he is Kevin Durant's personal security
right.
guard? And so, based on how he conducted himself, Christine, do you think it is more likely that he got a raise today or that he got fired today for that? Because you could argue he did exactly what you were paid to do as a personal security guard.
I feel like he probably, well, it depends on who's paying him. If Kevin Durant is paying him, he got a raise. If he's a team security guard, he might have possibly gotten fired.
Might be a little slap on the
right.
wrist type situation.
Right. Yeah,
here.
He might got in trouble for that one. Because, I mean, you can't be taking out players on the court.
Listen, this movie had everything last night.
That's why you have to watch it like a movie. I'm telling you.
You know what? It's all of a sudden making me like, I was sitting there like, man, this is a bad basketball game.
No,
it might be a bad basketball
it's a
game.
Movie.
But it's a great movie.
Exactly. Exactly.
Unbelievable. At It's the Bald Girl, at Mike Golick Jr. on Twitter is where you can find us. But coming up next, as we look forward in this series, what's the status of James Harden heading into this stretch now that the Bucks have gotten a game back? We'll try and find out next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
I just can't get mad at Giannis. Every time I think about Juana judging, he steps to the mic and he sounds so wholesome, so pure.
He's so incredibly precious, and I think that's the reason I do not feel like they're going to win a championship.
Chenaean Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Christine Williamson sitting in for Chinea Gumake today. You can catch her with more analysis like that coming up on Hoop Streams in just a little bit later this evening, wherever you consume ESPN Digital.
Right.
Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.
The ESPN app.
The ESPN
We're not on
app.
Twitch.
Are we not on Twitch?
This show isn't on Twitch. I don't know if other shows are on Twitch, but this show isn't on Twitch.
I'm not going to lie. A lot of that stuff, like, you're very big in the TikTok scene. If people aren't following Christine Williamson on TikTok, they're making mistakes. She got all the, like, little silhouette window dances down.
Uh-huh.
I am, like, very quickly finding out that I am old in that space because I just don't understand it. So I just assume we're on all those platforms when we do digital stuff.
We are on those platforms, but our show specifically isn't on those platforms.
Got it. Okay, so don't go to Twitch for this show.
No.
Go to YouTube. Go to Twitter.
ESPN app.
And the ESPN
right.
app on that. Now, you can catch all that coming up in a little bit, or you can stick right here on ESPN Radio as we talk to our friend Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News. He reports on the New York Nets. And Christian, we were talking in the last segment here. Does Kevin Durant's personal bodyguard get a raise or a slap on the wrist for going out and interjecting himself in that incident between KD and PJ Tucker last night?
Number one, first and foremost, it's the Brooklyn Nets. Put some respect on my hometown. Number two, Kevin Durant's his bodyguard definitely gets a raise, no matter what. I think that's just funny. At the time, I had no clue who that was and what was going on. I see PJ Tucker and Kevin Durant drawing back and forth, and I see Kevin Durant trying to walk away, and then PJ Tucker says something else to him, and then he turns around and it gets a little crazy. I don't know. I think Kevin Durant's his guy knew what he was doing, so give that man a couple extra $1,000 a week.
Do security guards typically get involved in on-court scuffles? I feel like I haven't seen that before. I feel like it's usually refs and then players, maybe a coach, but I haven't seen a security guard.
Me neither. You know, it all kind of happened so fast. I was under the assumption that it was just arena security, you know, and everything just happened so quickly. I don't know. Isn't the league supposed to say that's not supposed to happen, right? Like, I don't think we're supposed to have anybody that's not arena staff or players or coaches on the floor or referees. So that was a first for me in a number of different respects. But I mean, I guess his guy knew he had to protect the investment at all costs. And best believe Kevin Durant is an investment worth protecting.
I was going to say, listen, you got to know where the paycheck is coming from right there, and you protect that asset, all right? We all have a boss in this life, and we all got to make sure that check keeps coming in. Now, Christian Winfield with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Brooklyn suffers a setback for the first time in the series. It had been dominant through the first two games. So what's this team's mindset coming off the loss? What was the biggest thing that you saw that kept them from going up 3-0 in the series?
You know, they came out the gate a little flat. And when you let a team like Milwaukee take a 21-point lead in the first quarter alone, it doesn't matter how good your defense is. It doesn't matter how elite scorers you have. You're playing that game of catch-up. And Kyrie Irving kind of talked about it post-game. He said, you know, when you dig yourself a hole like that, you got the fatigue over the course of that. Of the energy that it takes to kind of make up for that gap. And then on top of that, when you have a team, when you're holding a team like Milwaukee to one field goal, I think, in the first 7 minutes of the second quarter, they're not going to keep missing shots, right? Eventually, that's going to break for them. So, you know, the Bucks came, and we all expected them to be a little bit more physical in their own hometown with their fans. I'm in Milwaukee right now. It's crazy. It was sold out in the building, and then there were at least 10,000 people outside the building that couldn't get in, that were cheering from outside. It incredible energy. But, you know, I look back to, I also got a chance to go to Boston and check out the TD Garden. It was a similar thing. The Nets go to Boston, game three, get punched in the mouth by a team like the Celtics. Jason Tatum goes for 50. Tristan Thompson grabs 9 offensive rebounds, and that game is over. But even though it felt like a dominant win for the Celtics, the Nets only lost that game by 6. Last night kind of felt like it was a dominant performance by the Bucks, but the Nets only lose that game by one possession. So they understand where they are. They understand that they need to bring the fight and not get punched in the mouth. I think we saw that defense in the second quarter. I mean, only holding the Bucks to 15 points in a period was remarkable. So we know they can play it, but now it's got to come to the game ready to fight. They know what to expect, and I think we'll see a much better team in game 4.
So knowing all of that, I mean, if James Harden was in that game, that probably would not have happened, but obviously he's out.
Sure.
That is a huge deal for the Nets. They wanted to go into the postseason having their big three strong and ready. Do you know the timetable for James Harden to be coming back on the court for the Nets?
It's tough, and this is for both James Harden and Jeff Green. I am not optimistic on the odds of either. You know, we spoke to Jeff Green not too long ago, and he was saying that he still is having difficulty cutting, making cuts on the floor, and that he hasn't had the explosiveness in his foot to kind of be doing all those poster dunks that we've seen him do all season. So I'm not sure that we see Jeff Green this series. If he comes back for game six, that's cool. I don't think we see him game four or game five. And I don't think we see James Harden game four or game five. Your hamstrings are kind of fickle. You feel good one day, and the next day, you know, it betrays you. And that happened with James Harden a couple times over the course of the season. He injures his hamstring playing against the Rockets. You know, he tries to give it a couple games later against the Knicks, and then 5 minutes later he leaves. And then a couple weeks later, we're thinking that he's ramping up and making his return to the court, and then he has a setback in practice, and then we don't see him until two of the last three games of the regular season. So I think the Nets want to play cautious. I think they feel like they could win this series without him. They had those two games in Milwaukee earlier this season without him as well, and they lost both of those games by a single possession. And one of those games could have gone the Nets' way if Kevin Durant makes any two of potential game-winning shots in the final second. So I don't think we see either of those guys unless it comes down to a game six or maybe a game seven. I think it'd be really, really tough to keep either one of Jeff Green or James Harden off the floor in a game seven. But at the same time, you don't want to risk James Harden getting hurt in this series, and then you win this series, and now you've got to find a way to deal with the Sixers. Or if you rush him back and you guys get through the Sixers, now you don't have James Harden in the NBA Finals. No, I think this team has the bigger picture, and they don't risk it. And I think they're confident in their ability to beat this team without him anyway.
Yeah, I think they've got a lot to be confident here. So that plan makes a ton of sense. Christian Winfield with us of the New York Daily News covering the Brooklyn Nets and the NBA. Christian, before we let you go, you got any issue with Bruce Brown taking that shot?
You know, if it was Bruce Brown walking the ball up or the full length of the floor, calling his own number, telling everybody get out of his way, then I'd have a problem with it. But, you know, the Nets had some plays that they wanted to run through at the end of the game. And Kyrie said, you know, it came down to execution and we failed to execute. And what happens when you fail to execute? You end up with a guy that you don't necessarily want to take the last shot, And that's what happened. You can't blame Bruce Brown for taking the shot. It was an offensive meltdown. Credit the Bucks defense for being physical. And really just, you know, if Bruce Brown makes that floater, he's made those floaters time and time again over the course of the year. If he makes that, then we're having a totally different conversation. But I don't have any problem with that. Maybe I'd have a problem with it if he didn't shoot at all. But you've got to try to get something up. And that was all. That's really credit to the Bucks defense. They took the Nets options away.
I'm with you. Listen, Bruce Brown had been loved up on those floaters all game by the broadcast crew and all the rest of us. He had his time to shine there. I got zero issue with Bruce Brown. What I do have an issue with is my own stupid mouth, because thankfully Christian at the beginning of the segment called me out on it. Cliff, can you play this back? Because I had no idea my brain made these words. Christian Winfield from the New York Daily News. He reports on the New York Nets. Like, what? How long have we been sitting here this year talking about the Brooklyn Nets big three, and my dumb brain produces that? So, Christian, I apologize. I will put respect on your hometown. The Brooklyn Nets are out here, and they have got a 2-1 lead. Christian, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. I'll do better next time.
My man, I appreciate you. Come out to Brooklyn sometime. You saw me.
There we go. I was going to say, I know I'll get good pregame eats with Christian. That much absolutely is sure. Christian Winfield, again, check him out, covering the Brooklyn Nets for the New York Daily News. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. All right, coming up next, Christine Williamson and I both ended up at various doctor's office. One in victory, one maybe in a little bit different situation. We will get to that next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I am blown away right now here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Christine Williamson, who, for anyone that's missed it, in addition to doing a great job on hoop streams around here, you hear on ESPN Radio, SportsCenter all night from 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. Eastern, is also the only person on this show who is like TikTok competent enough to actually participate in the theater. And so if anyone was watching on ESPN Plus, like, you're hitting the dance coming back. They can't hear the music, but I don't even know what song that was. Like, can someone explain to me? I miss out on all these trends, Christine.
First of all, that's like one of the easiest TikTok dances ever. I realize that people, like, I can dance, first of all. Like, I can actually dance. I can actually dance. So, like, I like to try to pull out the dances. Some of them are a little bit too complicated, but the easy ones, like, I feel like I could be like the next, you know how that guy, that weatherman, like does all the,
yes.
I feel like I could be the next that. But I feel like it's not as cool for me because like I'm a young black woman. So like it makes sense that I can dance.
Yeah. Oh, Christina.
So I feel like I wouldn't be as viral as
I was going to say, you like make cool look very effortless. Like Christina Williamson walks into work and puts together outfits that I'm just like, I don't even know what section of the store you get this stuff from. And you always come in and you point out that like some of these outfits you're not even spending a ton of money on, but you just know how to throw it together and make it look cool. It's incredible.
Well, yeah, I actually, the shoes that I have on were from my grandma. This shirt is from my friend and the pants I just had for years. So I guess I am making everything look effortless, you know.
It is amazing. Well, not everything. So
oh, God.
I want to get to this. And before we get to, I promise you guys, in 10 minutes, we have got the breakdown leading up to the Phoenix Suns' next game that no one else is going to provide you. Christina Williamson has cracked the code as to why we are seeing a resurgent Suns in this postseason. It has nothing to do with Chris Paul on that shoulder, nothing to do with DeAndre Ayton. It might even not have anything to do with anyone actually on the court.
It's
so.
The off-the-court activity that is influencing what's going on the court in Phoenix, for sure.
And with undeniable, like, research background information. Yeah. So, Christina Williamson, unlike most of the NFL players denying why they haven't gotten the COVID vaccine, has actually done the research, done her own research on this, and is going to present it in about 10 minutes. But, Christine, you and I also have another thing in common. Both of us rocked baldy
here.
We're
bald, yes.
We are both bald.
We're both bald.
We were sitting around here before the show talking about the different ways we go about shaving our heads for anyone watching on ESPN Plus right now. You see it, if not on ESPN Radio, you know what bald looks like.
Right.
You and I were both talking about what we do, and you brought up the fear of using the straight razor to try and go all the way down to the skin.
Yes, because you said that that's what you do, and I feel like I'd cut my head up. But I recently, well, no, this is about 6 months ago, decided to try to switch it up. And I was like, let me see. I want to go really close because I use clippers to cut my hair. And I was like, I want to go as close as I possibly can without using a razor. So I went to the worst place possible to try to find a way to like shave my head, which is Target's my favorite place to go. But like, I probably should have gone to like an actual hair place or like a barber place or something like that.
Yeah, but like in your defense, Target's got everything.
Exactly. So I go there and I get this thing that looks like it's supposed to cut your hair all the way down to the, you know, the skin. It has like these... I don't know anything about men's like shaving stuff. So it has like these three like circles on it.
Oh, yeah, you bought one of those
electric
ones.
Whatever. And I was like, oh, this is great. I can do it in the shower because I usually cut my hair in the sink and I get hair everywhere. So I'm like, oh, this is great. I can do it in the shower. I won't make a mess. So I do that and I cut my hair. Now, that's not even the bad part of the story. So I come out and there's like patches because I couldn't see the back of my head. I didn't really know how to use it, whatever. So then I decided, this is the part that you're going to freak out about, to get Nair.
Oh.
And put it on my head in the spots that were still patchy because I wasn't going to shave it with a razor because I'm scared of that. I don't want to cut my head open. So I go get Nair. Now, that actually I don't even think was the thing that put it over the edge, but that did kind of mess me up a little bit. It was very itchy.
Oh, yeah.
It was burny.
Nair's a beast.
Exactly.
I've had to Nair a lot of my friends' back hair in college, so I get it.
Not a good idea to put on a freshly shaven head because it's freshly shaven. So I did that, and then my head started doing something weird, so I started putting cortisone on it. And that is what took it over the edge. I'm telling you, I had welts on my head.
Oh.
My hair was growing. This is disgusting.
What?
My hair was growing underneath my skin on my head. Like, I had a head full of ingrown hairs. I had to go to the doctor. I go to the doctor, and the doctor looks at my head, and he goes, yes. Your scalp is swollen, so just don't touch it. Don't put anything on it. My actual scalp was swollen. So I'm never switching it up ever again.
Oh, my God.
Unless, like, a professional, like, tells me what I need to do.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say, you got to, Janae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio, you got to consult a professional after that.
I'm not
doing there is no way you can go back to that.
No.
That is,
it was so bad. I had, like, it was all ingrown hair. Like, I had hair growing back, but, like, when you touched it, it was smooth because it was underneath a layer of skin.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
That is a difficult situation that you had going to the doctor. Can I lift this back up here with a win?
Yes, please.
Because, like, that is one, like, these are the learning experiences you got to have when you are dealing with a bald head of hair.
Right.
Dealing with things in adulthood on our own and all this one. I caught a dub today.
Okay.
Because in the middle of everything that was going on this week, we have all this NBA playoff stuff. I'm trying to get ready. I'm going on a trip this weekend. I look up and I realize, oh, man, Friday morning I booked a dentist appointment.
Okay.
I knew I hadn't been in a while.
How long?
So I didn't know until I went to the dentist. And so all this week leading up, I'm talking to my folks. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm just going to hit the floss real hard this week, get after it. My mom's like, Mike, that's not how it works. You can't just floss for a week and expect to undo potentially years of damage here. So I walk into the dentist's office, and they look at me, and they go, Mike, you know when your last appointment was with us? So today is June 11th, 2021. They said your last appointment was November of 2018. I haven't been to the dentist in almost 3 years. They walked in there, and so I'm like, all right, listen, we're going to brace for impact on this. You never know how it's going to go, but I have been out here living right, flossing this week, getting ready for this thing. End of the week dentist appointment already.
Wait, hold on. Do you
premise.
Floss every day? Because you're saying floss
no,
this week.
No, not normally.
Okay,
I
so
don't
how
normally
often
floss
do you
every
floss?
Day. If I'm lucky, in a month, I'll floss for 3-4 days.
Okay.
So, like, it's hit or miss. Like, I'll go through stretches where I try and hit it for a long time. And again, in 3 years, I probably went through month-long stretches where I was flossing.
Yeah.
But I hit it for a week this week. Okay. And so I walk into the dentist's office, and they tell me this. They say, Mike, you haven't been to the dentist since 2018. What the hell's wrong with you? And I said, just look at my mouth. And so they go in there, and the dentist starts doing his thing, poking around. And I can feel, you know how when you got a cavity, it'll sink in? Nothing. Ironclad. I am a brick wall. I am a fortress. Dennis looks up all of a sudden, and he goes, I'm not going to lie. This looks excellent. Your routine must be saving you. And you know how I know he was shook? Because he didn't even have the courage to look at me and ask, well, how often do you floss? Because you know they live for that, to lord it over us.
Course.
He was so shook and so thrown off by the fact that for 3 years, I didn't need him, and I still got it done. And I walked out of there, I called my mom, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do what now? I'm a grown man taking care of my mouth. I handle this business. The answer to what that mouth do is clean very well over here.
Oh, God. Well, first of all, I actually read a study about a year ago that says that you don't have to floss every day.
Oh, wow.
There's you don't have to do it, apparently. So I feel like they just are saying that just so that you can do it.
And to be clear, I respect the industry of dentistry.
Yeah, of course.
All I'm saying is, tell me I can't do something. And this is what I forgot about myself.
Right.
I'm a competitor, and I needed, it's not like dominating my front lawn and going out there and getting the front looking nice of the house. It's I had to have someone in my mom come and tell me I couldn't do something so that I could overcome.
Do you think that it was the week of flossing that helped you out, or do you think it was your routine over the last 3 years that was actually being held down?
No, I think preparation met opportunity. I think I had a routine.
Okay.
I think, listen, we put our values in the right place here. We wake up each and every day. We rise and grind. We begin and end the day meeting the sun, greeting the sun as it leaves. Brushing and maybe occasionally mixing a floss in there. So we held it down. But being able to lord that not only over parents everywhere, like kids, follow your dreams. I promise you, you can pull off a similar heist like this. This is probably irresponsible advice, but I don't care. I'm drunk with power today.
I mean, definitely floss your teeth, though, kids.
Yes, yeah, no, do that.
Don't not floss your teeth because that is important. However, I mean, I'm proud. Have you had a cavity in your life?
I have on baby teeth, though. Knock on wood.
Okay,
adult
so you're
teeth,
not a cavity-prone person.
No, yeah.
That's probably why your teeth are working out really well.
Genetics dominating over
exactly.
here. So kids, if you learn one thing, you can floss for a week leading up to your dentist appointment and succeed. And don't put all that stuff in
don't
combination.
Don't put anything on your head.
On your
don't
head.
Put hair on your head.
We are brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coming up next. The Suns' playoff success in this 2021 season, hell, even going all the way back to the NBA bubble last year,
before that too,
can be attributed to one person and one person alone. We'll tell you who that is next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., for one more segment, you guys get to enjoy Christine Williamson here with us, star on SportsCenter on Snapchat, Hoop Streams, which you can watch her on tonight. That's where you're going after this hour.
Yes, of course. 7 p.m. on ESPN Twitter, Instagram. Wait, not Instagram.
Not
YouTube,
Instagram.
And the ESPN app.
I got it wrong last time.
I know. Then
I feel
I'm
better.
Just like doing what you're doing.
I can say I set a bad example on here. You guys can also catch her on ESPN Radio later tonight, SportsCenter all night from 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. Eastern.
Holding it down.
Come listen to her. It's a great time. She will sing for you on there.
I will
there.
Sing. I always sing. So if you want to get some solid vocals, I also rap, so I can rap too.
I have seen that start to pop up right now.
I'm a rapper. I'm literally a rapper.
You had a rap that got used in an ad and stuff.
Know.
Like you got paid to rap.
Okay, I literally told people that I used to want to be a rapper, and they're like, oh, then rap on your shows. And I was like, no. And then they were like, oh, no, you have to rap on the shows. We told the sponsors that you would. So that's what happened.
So that technically makes you a rapper. I feel
exactly.
like once you're paid to do something,
right.
you can lay claim to being that thing.
I'm a rapper.
There
yes,
we go.
For
you
sure.
know what? Christine Williamson, add rapper to the Instagram bio here. So that's what you guys can look forward to. You can also look forward to what's coming up tonight because the NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight for Game 3 as John Collins and the Hawks host Matisse Thybulle and the 76ers. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on most radio stations. And that one's going to be exciting. We're all looking to see if Joel Embiid can continue this absolute freaking tear that he is on against Trae Young and the Hawks. But the Phoenix-Denver series has really started to grab a lot of attention. We talked about this with the Utah Jazz earlier, who we haven't talked about the Utah Jazz yet.
No, we did personally, but not on the show.
That whole region of teams, like the American Southwest, West right there, mm-hmm. we struggle to give them the proper credit, I think, in a lot of these situations. And the Suns have been one of those teams. And we've seen an explosion from them, though, in the last year, really going back to the bubble.
Right.
What this team has done, Chris Paul coming over as this veteran presence, mm-hmm. getting healthy at the right time. But, Christine, as I've wanted to sit here and attribute this run to Chris Paul and his leadership, to DeAndre Ayton stepping up, you went back on Sports Nation not too long ago and crunched the numbers off the court for maybe the biggest influence on this entire series. What were your findings?
Okay, so first of all, I will say that obviously CP3 and DeAndre Ayton, they have their little big three going on, and so those things are very good. However, I am a babyface Book fan. I have been a Booker fan since before even the bubble, and so I've been kind of paying attention to what he's been doing, and he's been blowing up. He specifically blew up last year in the bubble. Now, the first picture of Devin Booker and Kendall Jenner was before the bubble, April 2020. Okay, so they were obviously hanging out. However, it was said that they were just friends at the time. Then he goes to the bubble. He goes on an absolute tear. It's like, whoa, this guy is really blowing up. Obviously, now he's having one of the best seasons of his career. He's only 24 years old. He's been in the league for 6 years. Okay, now, I decided to look back. Let's say we look at the stats. I hit up the people in Stats and Info, and I said, let's look at the stats for Devin Booker from before April 2020 and after April 2020. And what I actually found wasn't that significant, but it was in the whole scope of what happens when people date the Kardashians. Now, Devin Booker pretty consistently points per game, field goal percentage, three-point field goal percentage is pretty much about the same. But in the world of entertainment, sports entertainment, we'll say, because this is an athlete, there's a Kardashian curse.
Yes, I would say we're well documented here.
Like,
folks,
everybody knows that it happened.
Yeah, we've
attributed this. We know what happened
to
Lamar Odom. We know what happened. What happened to Reggie Bush? I mean, we know what he's doing now, but like, he kind of fell off a little bit after when he was with Kim Kardashian, right? Chris Humphries.
Yeah, never forget.
He's not even in the league anymore. Who else? Do you know who Miles Turner is? Or wait, not Miles Turner. Miles, I forget his last name, but she dated some guy named, a football player named Miles, who was at the time, like, almost a star, but not so much.
Yeah.
Miles Austin. Also, Tristan Thompson. He was, like, going to be the sixth man of the year, and then he dated Khloe Kardashian.
But I was going to say, you're mentioning a bunch of different Kardashians. Kendall Jenner.
So those ones were cursed. Kendall Jenner is the person who puts the people she's dating on the map. Blake Griffin was at the top of his career when she was dating, when he was dating Kendall. Ben Simmons when they stopped dating, everybody started talking about how Ben Simmons can't make threes.
That is true.
So I feel like Kendall Jenner is the X factor in this, because since they started dating, Devin Booker is on an absolute tear.
Cracked the code on this one. Incredible.
Beat the Kardashian curse.
I can say, she found a way. She is now the kingmaker out here, just crowning the next great NBA star. So you got to love and respect that.
I think it might be her. I'm curious to see what happens in the future. But if they go on to win the finals, it's Kendall Jenner.
A potential nod for finals MVP. Christine Williamson and more of that great analysis coming up on Hoop Streams at 7 o'clock Eastern. Christine, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
We will have you back here again very, very soon. You can also check her out again, SportsCenter All Night on ESPN Radio from 1 to 7 Eastern. But coming up next, we had a CFP expansion conversation for the ages yesterday. Who's the biggest winner next on ESPN?